As we begin, I like to try to ask and answer the question, what is manipulation? You ever thought about that? The dictionary defines the verb manipulate to control or play upon by artful, unfair, or insidious means. Another dictionary puts it this way, to manage by clever use of personal influence, especially unfair influence. Now, what about from the Christian perspective? From our point of view as a Christian, manipulation is using means of controlling or even influencing others that are unbiblical. There's a time and a place for us to influence people. There's a time and a place for us to manage people. You know, the line is very thin between the word management and the word control. Your desire shall be to control your husband, but he shall rule over you. A church officer is supposed to be one who rules his own house well. So there's even a time and a place to manage or to control people in the biblical sense of the word, in the sense of management. But when you use means of influencing, means of ruling over, means of managing people that are outside the bounds of Scripture, you may be guilty of manipulation, or worse, actually. Manipulation is attempting to gain control over an individual or situation by inciting an emotional reaction rather than a biblical response from that person. More specifically, it's often entertained to gain control over someone by inciting an emotional reaction rather than a biblical response from that person. Or put it another way, it's really trying to motivate someone to fulfill my wants and needs without clearly stating what those wants and needs are. In Luke chapter 10, Martha was distracted with all of her preparations, and she came to Jesus and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the serving alone? Then tell her to help me. Martha wanted assistance with her food preparations and was frustrated, angry, really, that her sister had left her to do all the serving alone, by herself. So rather than simply telling the Lord exactly what she wanted, help with the cooking, she first attempted to play on his emotions, sympathy, maybe even guilt. Do you not care? But she was attempting to motivate the Lord to fulfill her personal desires without clearly stating them first. Now again, there's nothing wrong with an appeal for sympathy rightly expressed, as long as the true desire for such, the desire for the request is also made known, along with the sympathetic appeal. But to do otherwise, that is just to sort of make an emotional appeal without telling people exactly in plain English what you want, that's manipulation, because you're concealing necessary information from the person to whom the appeal is made. And we'll get back, look at Martha in a little bit. But in the meantime, let's begin our outline of how to help manipulators. First, you need to assist them in identifying their favorite styles of manipulation. What are some of the more common ways in which manipulators tend to control their victims? Tears, sulking, silence, guilt trips,
anger.
All right. Now remember, the perpetrator, the manipulator, may or may not be conscious that he is actually manipulating. Now often they are. As we'll see later, sometimes they're very, very aware. But the fact of the matter is, when you take children, for example, you know, they've learned from a very young age, well, this is what I want, and this seems to work, this is how I get it. And so they sort of develop these manipulative behaviors, not even consciously aware that what they're doing is manipulative. Well, there's accusations, criticisms, crying, lots of why questions, especially from children. And you'll notice as we go through some of the examples of people who tried to manipulate the Lord, why was one of their favorite tools? Because what's the number one target? What's the number one emotion that manipulators try to evoke in their victims? Guilt, exactly. And, you know, as biblical counselors, you don't ask why questions when you're trying to get information, right? Jesus didn't ask a why question when he was collecting data. He asked why questions for conviction. So there is a time and a place to ask a why question, but usually it's not for collecting data. What's an obligatory statement? You ought to, you should. You know, in other words, basically you're being told that you ought to do something or should do something or need to do something or must do something for other than biblical reasons. Intimidating speech. Playing the victim. Now here's an important point. I'll pick up on it again in a few minutes. But folks, manipulators often want us to see them as helpless, hurting, frightened, or wounded individuals when the truth is they're often, not always, because sometimes they do it unconsciously, but they're often hostile, aggressive warriors. Sometimes they sulk and pout, as was mentioned. They whine. They withhold affection. They give the cold shoulder. They're guilty of physical abuse sometimes. And they can use flattery and cajolery. Now, let's take a look at what manipulators sometimes do when they are confronted. They'll deny culpability. They'll refuse to acknowledge, in other words, their manipulative behavior. They'll play innocent. Who, me? Manipulate? They refuse to discuss the matter. They don't want to discuss their manipulative ways. They play dumb, or as one person put it, they actively ignore the warnings, pleas, or wishes of others, those who try to confront them, in other words. And in general, they refuse to pay attention to everything and anything that might distract them from pursuing their own agenda. To actively discuss the matter may be seen as an act of submission, which the manipulator's pride will not easily let him do. Worse yet, to discuss the matter might result in loss of power or control, which is what he often fears the most. Sometimes they try to divert the focus of the confrontation to some other topic. Sort of dodge the issue. They intimidate. They'll often threaten their confronters in order to provoke anxiety, generate apprehension, and a sense of inferiority. They often intimidate their victims by making subtle threats. That's one of their tactics, is they try to sort of put their victims on the defensive and use intimidation to evoke some kind of a cloud of apprehension or doom. Don't make me do this, because if you do, there's going to be a price to pay. They actually sometimes try to evoke anxiety through intimidation. Try to get the manipulatee to worry. And they do this often, though not exclusively, by intimidation. They'll shift the blame, often back to the person being manipulated, although not necessarily. All right, second thing to do when you're trying to help manipulators is to help them evaluate the relationships in which their manipulation often occurs. Who are the people in the life of the manipulator that he's most likely to manipulate? All right, it's the husband-wife relationship, parent-child relationship, including one's own parents, by the way. Sometimes adult children try to manipulate their parents. Sometimes parents try to manipulate their children. In-law relationships, big problem with manipulation. I don't know what it's like up here, but especially in the South, it's huge. Employer-employee relationships, and unfortunately, even ecclesiastical relationships. Sometimes church leaders are really good at manipulating through guilt and other means. Threats of unjustified church discipline. I've heard all kinds of things. I've been the victim of some of it, actually. And, of course, friendships. Third, help your manipulator evaluate his manipulative thoughts and motives biblically. What are the motives your counselee has for manipulating others? This is what you want to help him to understand. Chances are good that there's something he's wanting bad enough to fight for. So he resorts to sinful, that is deceptive and underhanded, methods of fighting and warring to get what he wants. Remember I said they want you to think that they're, you know, that they're victims, that they're helpless? Look at this. Where do wars and fights come from among you? Do they not come from your desires for pleasure that war in your members. You lust and do not have, you murder and covet, and dare I say,